Welcome to Hearing God with Gary and Jane Berry. Do you want to grow in your intimacy with Father God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus? Join us as we share insights and practical tips that you can apply today. Hi, I'm Gary Berry, and together with my wife, Jack, we host Hearing God, a podcast that helps people hear from God. Today, we're looking at Saul, who is also known as Paul, and how he heard God at his first encounter face-to-face with God.
Gary, let's share briefly first how we've heard God this week.
Yeah, well, Jane, the year has started off quite busy for me work-wise, but then it's actually slowed down a little bit. But we also seem to be getting new guys that have made themselves available for work, which is really exciting. What we've found in the past, we always seem to have the right amount of work with the right number of guys. And so I have a sense from God this week, he's saying to me, even though things are quieting down a little bit, actually, this is a great time of training the new guys so that you're up to speed for when the work really comes on. So that was a real reassuring for me and gave me a real sense of peace as I move forward. Thank you, God.
And this is in the garden cleanup.
Yeah, this is in my garden cleanup business.
For me, Gary and I were watching a movie the other night and it was just called Dog. It's actually a really good movie. But there was a quote that stood out and it just was like, whoa, I really felt God was using it for me. And the quote was, that dog did exactly what it was born to do. It lived an extraordinary life. And that was like, it really challenged me. Am I doing exactly what I was born to do? Am I living an extraordinary life? And I would pose that question to every listener today. Are you doing what you were born to do? Are you living an extraordinary life? And I love how God can use movies and books and different things of everyday life to talk to us.
And just a little side note, it was a military dog.
A few scenes not too good. So, yeah, it's not a family movie. I have to mention our show notes. If you go to our website, garyandjane.co, garyandjane.co, you can download a copy of what we've talked about today.
All right. So as we move on to this first principle today, we're really focusing in on Saul. And our first principles, there is no one too bad for God. God desires a relationship with everyone.
So Saul in the Bible, in the New Testament, we read a lot about him in Acts, and then he actually wrote a number of books in the New Testament. He was this ruthless man. He was arrogant, self-righteous. He loved finding fault with people. Not necessarily the person you would want to be stuck sitting next to at a Christmas lunch. He was a fervent Jew. He wanted to destroy a whole people group, completely wipe them out. But he reminds you of different personalities in the world today.
So you're really talking about the early years of Paul's life.
The early years of Paul's life. Yeah. He was not a nice person. He wanted to wipe out Christians. And we see that God encountered him on the road in Acts 9, 1-21. Before we get there, I want to share an example from my own, well, from my dad's life, where he was nowhere with God. Mum was a Christian. We would go to church, you know, roughly every month, mainly, you know, so people didn't talk. And Dad was nowhere with God. When it came time for church, he would have to take the cows down the back. I grew up on a dairy farm. Anyhow, my auntie Margaret and Uncle George were being baptized. They had had a real encounter with God and were going along to a Pentecostal church, wanted to be baptized, invited Mum and Dad. Mum and Dad are sitting there, and during the service, someone got up and spoke, and Mum saying to Dad, oh, I wish they'd speak in English. I can't understand them.
So they were speaking in tongues, wasn't it?
They were speaking in tongues. But
this is a full-on Pentecostal church.
But Mum and Dad had no grid for this. And so Mum's like, what on earth are they saying? And then the next person got up and Dad's like, why are they repeating themselves? They're just saying word for word exactly what the last person did. And Mum and Dad had no reference for this at all and, in fact, didn't realise that Dad had the gift of interpreting tongues until they talked to me a week or so later. And Dad was saying something and I'm like, Dad, do you realise that this is a gift of interpreting? And he's like, oh. And he was nowhere with God. Or it wasn't. It was actually more than a week later. It was a number of months, years later. But
it's almost God used that experience to really penetrate your dad's heart, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he became a Christian after that. So in Acts 9, 1 to 21, we see Saul chasing after more Christians to kill. He was traveling to a new city along the road, and suddenly this bright light flashed around him. So he saw this light. It was enough of a shock that he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice from heaven asking why he killed Christians. And then he was told by this voice to go into the city where he was headed and to wait for instructions. He opened his eyes and he couldn't see. He was blind for 3 days. Now, he saw the light, he heard a voice, he went blind. The men traveling with him heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Sometimes when we hear from God, encounter God, it doesn't make sense to those around us. And we have to be careful who we trust in those times.
That's a good point. But we need to just be careful too that we just don't go and do something crazy because God said or told us to do it either.
Yeah. So what would you say? How would you say to check it?
Well, sometimes we have this, or you talk about having this knowing. You just know that it's the right thing to do. Sometimes it's also good to just bounce it off someone that we really, or a couple of people who we really value their perspective. They may not even have quite the same theological grid as us, but they're prepared to ask us good questions.
Oh, I like that. Later in Acts 13, we read of Saul, and he's also known as Paul. And we often used to think he became Paul, had a name change when he encountered God. Paul is the Latin version for Saul, and he was known mainly as Saul beforehand, but he was also known as Paul. So it wasn't actually the name change according to the encounter with God. But it says in Acts 13, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and could discern things. So he had a knowing that came from being filled with the Spirit.
All right, Jane. So the next principle, when we encounter God, we change.
Yeah. So I don't think we can encounter God without change.
So it's more than really just an intellectual exercise. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. It has to be a transformation within us.
Yeah. So there may be a change in thinking, but it really hits our heart and then changes our attitude, our actions, that sort of thing. That's what you're saying. There's change.
Yeah.
A total change. But sometimes different things change at different times in us.
So going on with Paul's story, in Damascus, the city Paul was going to, there was a Christian there called Ananias, whom God told in a vision. So God spoke to Ananias in a vision and told him to go to Saul and pray for him to be able to see again. Ananias says to God, whoa, this guy could kill me. But he still follows what God told him to do. And God actually gave him very specific instructions. Go to this street, 6th Street, go to this house, and you will find a guy called Saul there. Ananias goes, finds Saul, prays for him, and obviously healed his eyesight, could see again, scales like fell off from his eyes. And Saul suddenly starts preaching and telling people about Christ. He had a radical conversion, which is interesting because the person he was beforehand, he was radical, he was full on as a murderer of Christians. Afterwards, he was still full on. He was full on as a Christian. So that part of his personality of being
passionate,
didn't change. It just had a different
God purpose. Used his personality
yeah.
in this next season of his life. It just didn't make him a hermit out there by himself. That thing that drove him in the past, that part of his personality that drove him in the past, God used that to really open up the world to Christianity.
Yeah. And I suppose for me, my encounter with God and change, when I was 14, I accepted Jesus Christ. I prayed a prayer for forgiveness and I wanted a relationship with Christ. And even though I prayed that prayer, there were times when I was still in control of my life. I like to think of it like a car. Jesus was in the car with me. A lot of the time he was in the driver's seat and I was in the passenger seat, but sometimes I was in the driver's seat and Jesus would be in the passenger seat. Occasionally I might put him in the back seat or the boot. But most of the time, like he was still in my life, but most of the time, well, not most, that's a bit unfair. Some of the time he actually wasn't Lord of my life. And when I went nursing straight out of high school, training at a hospital. I was in my second year of training, so I would have been 19, and working in accident and emergency and casualty. Got a phone call from the ambulance. In 5 minutes, we've got this lady we're bringing in. She's in her 30s, basically her heart stopped. My task in the team was to do the chest compressions. We worked on that lady for over 90 minutes, for an hour and a half. We did everything possible, every drug, tried everything, nothing worked. At the end of the time, the doctor in charge called it quits, and someone asked if anyone knew her name. When they said the name, I froze. I actually knew her. Her daughter was my cousin's best friend. We went camping with her and her family at Easter. I was just totally devastated. And it actually caused me to question life, that there had to be more to life than this, more to life than growing up, getting a job, getting married, having kids and dying. And it caused me actually to stop and ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life, to be in control of my life, to be in the driver's seat. And I started living my life like I'd run a young adults group, I'd run a youth group. I was on statewide and Northwest Coast committees for youth, but it really changed, I suppose, my heart and my focus and my purpose and the underlying reason why I was serving others. What about your first encounter, Gary?
I'd grown up in a Christian home, gone to Sunday school, all that sort of stuff, but it hadn't actually penetrated my heart until 1981. I remember going to a youth conference, and I don't know what it was. It was up in Sydney. There was just a carload of us went up there. We had a great time, but God somehow penetrated my heart at that weekend, and I remember I came away totally changed and totally wanting to live for God. And so the passion I had before that to just go motorbike riding, dirt bike riding, camping, I was just passionate about all this stuff. Suddenly the passion that I had came into my new Christian life and just wanted to see people, one, the Lord, grow in their relationship, you know, build the youth group, that sort of stuff. But for me personally, I had a real peace in my life that I knew who I was, whose I was, and where I was heading in my life, and that if something was to happen tomorrow, that I'd go to be with Jesus. So a peace, a real deep peace came into my life and just made such a difference to me. Yes.
I just want to stop here and pause and say, if you haven't had an encounter with Jesus that has changed your life and would love to, we will put something in the show notes about Alpha, a great program to get involved with. But Gary, would you like to lead people now through a prayer of accepting Jesus as Lord and Saviour of their life?
Father, I just thank you for people who are listening to this today, and that those people who don't have you as number one in their life, as their Lord and Saviour, Father, we just ask now that they will just ask you to be the boss of their life, in control of their life, that, Father, they'll be able to just release everything in their past to you and just allow you to come into their life and be their Lord and Saviour. Father, just bless them now, Lord Father, in Jesus' name.
So if you would love to pray along with me and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. So, Father God, I'm sorry for all the times that I have done things wrong, that I haven't been in a right relationship with you as you created me to be. Would you come into my life now? I want to make you not only Saviour of my life, but Lord of my life. I want to live for you. I want to encounter you in a fresh way that changes my heart. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
So the third principle, Jane, is how do we respond when we are asked to do something by God that just doesn't make sense?
Actually, we probably covered this a bit before when you said check it out with a mature Christian.
Hmm.
But Ananias was given specific directions in Acts 9, 10 to 19. In a vision, as we said, to go to a particular house on Straight Street and ask for a particular person. And Ananias says, hey, I've heard he wants to arrest Christians. Are you sure, God? So I think we need to realize it's okay to question God, but it's what we do with the question and response that's important. God said, yeah, definitely do this, go and do this. Ananias obeys. A lot of people over the years have said to us, wow, we love how you guys obey God quickly. And I think if God asks you to do something, you need to obey. There's no question about it, but it's you can check with God and check, hey, does this contradict the nature, the character of God? Is there anything in the Bible that aligns with this? Is there mature Christians that we can speak to? I pose the question, how many times do we miss out because we haven't obeyed God quickly? And I would say if Ananias had said, no, I'm not going to do this, God would have used someone else. He needed someone to come to Paul. I mean, God could have taken those, you know, the scars off Saul's eyes and wham, he could see again. God can do anything. But he wanted to use a human. And so I want to be God's first choice and not be missed over because I've said no. I don't know. Has there been a time in your life, Gary, when you've felt God say something and, I don't know, it didn't make sense?
Well, back in episode 27, we mentioned about how we went to Albury. This was just Josh and I, this little adventure over a weekend to meet someone at a particular time at front of the post office. It was a stinking hot day and we're thinking, mate, someone's meant to be in a suit or a jacket. Da 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 da. Anyway, we end up encountering that person and prayed for him. And by the way, we met a couple of West Indian famous cricketers in a side street soon after that, or just before it. But yeah, that was something that was a little bit bizarre, but we did what God wanted us to do. And I'm sure that person was really blessed as a result.
Yeah.
But even the other day, just out the front here, I was getting a drink and there was the bin man coming past and I had a Gatorade and a water in my hand and I just sensed I should go and give it to the bin guy. And I went around there and he was just going to take the water. I said, oh, do you want the Gatorade too? So that was like out of the blue. It wasn't a Christmas. It wasn't some celebratory thing. It was just purely I just sensed I should give the bin guy, you know, the guys that in the big truck that pick up the rubbish bins in front of your place, that I should just give him a water and the Gatorade. And, yeah, it probably blew him away because most people usually curse those guys because the trucks stink. Anyway, so just summarising the three principles we'll look at today. Principle number one, there is no one too bad for God. God desires a relationship with everyone. Our second principle is, when we encounter God, we change. And then our third principle, how do we respond when we are asked to do something by God that doesn't make sense?
So at the end of every episode, we have a prophetic activation, purely a time where you can practice asking God a question and hearing from him. When we say hearing, it could be hearing, seeing, sensing, knowing, feeling, that sort of stuff. So if you can turn your heart and thoughts to Father God and just ask him, Father God, who in my life needs to hear about you? In episode 3, we talked about grabbing the first thought through your head. So just grab, if someone comes to mind or sense something, go with that. And then, Father God, what do they need to know first about you? How can I share you? So both of us have asked God what he would love to say to a listener. Gary, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I just sense that there's an issue or a thing that God would want you to achieve, but you're not sure about the steps required. I just sense that actually ask God the first step and then take that step. And then once you've taken that step, ask for the next one. It's almost like you need to just take one step at a time, not get caught up with the big picture and getting blown away by that, but taking one step at a time, and you're going to end up achieving what God wants you to do. Jane?
I sense that our listeners are going to have an encounter with God in the Bible, with reading the Word of God. There's going to be a new love for his Word and a change in your character. So I encourage you, make time, set aside time to really get stuck into the Bible. There may be chapters, books that you haven't read before, but God's going to encounter you in a new way. Gary, would you pray for us?
Father, we just want to thank you for being our God that's so interested in each one of us. Father, just may we really grow in our relationship with you, in our capacity to not only trust you, but step out of our comfort zone in obedience. Father, may we see people won to you. May we see people drawn into the kingdom, Lord. Father, may we hear from you as to what you would want us to do, how you'd want us to partner with you in seeing those people won to you. The little steps, the acts of service, the kindness, the whatever it is that you want us to do. Father, may we listen to you. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We would love it if you could ask God who you could share this podcast with and then share it with them. And also if you could rate and review our podcast on your favourite podcast listening app. Thank you so much for listening.